Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show co-hosted by Vera Resnick and Debbie Bruck. We're challenging you to join us on our journey to complete Samuel Hahnemann's Organon in 1 year. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, talking with classical homeopath Vera Resnick. Today is August 9th, 2010, and you're listening to show number 67 of Who's Reading the Organon. We will move on to aphorism number 39 today. And we welcome all the new listeners to the program and welcome your comments. If you are a member of Homeopathy World Community, just get onto the live chat, post your comments and questions there. We will read them live over the air. And we will also be putting up a blog in the group section where you can continue the conversation about each day's study. So we're going to begin with some motivational, inspirational thoughts and quotes to get us going for the day. One, I want to show you the video that's on the front page that was provided by Katja Schutt. She says, never ever give up in life. And this comes from a very telling moment, Derek Redmond's Olympic Spirit in 1992, where as he was about to win the race, his hamstring tore and he collapsed on the ground, and he got up instead of going on the stretchers to hobble over to the finish line, and his dad came running down to help him. It's a very tender moment. This is a quote that I usually give. I don't know whether it's once a day, a couple of times a week, from Deepak Chopra. It says, peace will be created only by those who are peaceful, and love will be shown only by those who have loved. George Bernard Shaw says, the people who get on in this world are people who get up and look for the circumstances they want, and if they can't find them, they make them. Okay. Wanted to also make a little note about what's going on the network news on HWC. There are a couple of nice discussions. One of them I posted about a news article that is on like 20 different news stations and news reports, except for The Guardian in the UK and the Australian newspapers. It is a positive message about homeopathy. The title, it says, is a homeopathic doctor uses venom to treat Afghans. And I think that it's great that we are able to get notoriety and publicity about homeopathy based on positive work and cured cases, and how homeopathy deals with epidemics or very, very difficult diseases that the general medical establishment has difficulty with, like autoimmune disease. And although it has a story about Kasim Saidi, who directs, well, it's about Dr. Sherzad, and he's not actually a doctor, but he does help people using, this is the confusion, he uses herbs and other means to help these people, and gets the snake venom and the scorpion toxins directly from the animals. The thing is, we don't really know whether he's using homeopathy per se, whether he is diluting and succussing the remedies and using the similimum principles. Therefore, the confusion for the general public, which is up to homeopaths today, is to clarify, to say this is really a use of herbs and other CAM, complementary alternative medicine, and not specifically homeopathy. Yet, we will be getting publicity of this nature, so it's up to us to get the truth out to the general public and to the medical world. I think, let me see if Vera is, yes, Vera, hi.
Hi, Debbie. Hi, everyone.
Hi, I went on and on today because there's a lot of issues that need to be spoken about, and people need to know what is definitively the definition and the use of homeopathy as opposed to CAM or integrative medicine or some other kind of medicine, and what it is being designated in the news. And then the fact that there's like a blackout, like a censorship of anything positive dealing with homeopathy. So those are a few issues that homeopaths and promoters of homeopathy today have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And I suppose in Hahnemann's age, we also had similar problems. I think that it would be nice to just go ahead and move into aphorism number 39. And see what Hahnemann teaches us today.
Okay. Now 39. Okay, we started reading 39 yesterday, so I'll just start the aphorism again. So we'll be fresh. Just a reminder that we've been talking about dissimilar diseases. A weaker dissimilar disease and a stronger dissimilar disease, and which one is older, and how the stronger suspends the weaker, which comes back afterwards uncured. Okay, aphorism 39. Now, the adherents of the ordinary school of medicine saw all this for so many centuries. They saw that nature herself cannot cure any disease by the accession of another, be it ever so strong, if the new disease be dissimilar to that already present in the body. What shall we think of them, that they nevertheless went on treating chronic diseases with allopathic remedies, namely with medicines and prescriptions capable of producing God knows what morbid state, almost invariably, however, one dissimilar to the disease to be cured. And even though physicians...
Oh, what? I didn't know whether you wanted to stop there and speak, or do you want to just run through the whole thing?
I'm trying to read with expression. So let's try and run through and catch the entire thought, and then we'll come back and break it up. Because sometimes when you stop a bit too early in a message, and this is something that happens to all of us when reading the Organon, we tend to stop thinking, what did that word mean? What did that sentence mean? And the truth is, we'll only really understand that sentence when we complete the thought. So so continuing. Just to backtrack, what shall we think of them that they nevertheless went on treating chronic diseases with allopathic remedies, namely with medicines and prescriptions capable of producing God knows what morbid state, almost invariably, however, one dissimilar to the disease to be cured. And even though physicians did not hitherto observe nature attentively, the miserable results of their treatment should have taught them that they were pursuing an inappropriate, a false path. Did they not perceive, when they employed, as was their custom, an aggressive allopathic treatment in a chronic disease, that thereby they only created an artificial disease dissimilar to the original one, which, as long as it was kept up, merely held in abeyance, merely suppressed, merely suspended the original disease, which latter, however, always returned, and must return, as soon as the diminished strength of the patient no longer admitted of a continuance of the allopathic attacks on the life. Thus, the itch exanthema certainly disappears very soon from the skin under the employment of violent purgatives frequently repeated, but when the patient can no longer stand the factitious, dissimilar disease of the bowels, and can take no more purgatives, then either the cutaneous eruption breaks out as before, or the internal sore displays itself in some bad symptom, and a patient, in addition to his undiminished original disease, has to endure the misery of a painful, ruined digestion and impaired strength to boot. I'll make a point here. How many people have taken all kinds of various painkillers which harm the digestion, not to mention antibiotics, but especially painkillers? There are some which you're told to only take them before eating, after eating, during eating. And yes, the pain is suspended, but then you need to take more because the pain comes back. Plus, your digestion is now ruined and you need to take stuff to support the digestion. So continuing. So also, when the ordinary physicians keep up artificial ulcerations of the skin and issues on the exterior of the body with the view of thereby eradicating a chronic disease, they can never attain their object by so doing. They can never cure them by that means. As such, artificial cutaneous ulcers are quite alien and allopathic to the internal affection. But inasmuch as the irritation produced by several tissues is at least sometimes a stronger dissimilar disease than the indwelling malady, the latter is thereby sometimes silenced and suspended for a week or two. But it is only suspended, and that for a very short time, whilst the patient's powers are gradually worn out. Epilepsy suppressed for many years by means of issues invariably recurred, and in an aggravated form, when they were allowed to heal up, as Peschlin and others testify. But purgatives for itch and issues for epilepsy cannot be more heterogeneous, more dissimilar deranging agents, cannot be more allopathic, more exhausting modes of treatment than are the customary prescriptions composed of unknown ingredients used in ordinary practice for the other nameless, innumerable forms of disease. These likewise do nothing but debilitate, and only suppress or suspend the malady for a short time without being able to cure it, and when used for a long time, always add a new, morbid state to the old disease. Wow.
Okay. That's a lot of heat that he packed into one aphorism here.
Well, actually, he's not saying an awful lot. He's talking about one essential principle here and what happens with that principle. He said to us that a substance is considered medicinal if it can affect health, right? Mm-hmm. So it means that all kinds of substances are medicinal, not necessarily in a positive sense. So here he has said, well, you know, just the same way as a homeopathic remedy is medicinal, an allopathic drug is medicinal. It affects the life, but it attacks the life and it creates an artificial disease. So you see, he's fitting the use of conventional medications into within the theory of, within his explanation of how homeopathy works, that the medicinal agents, which are now we're in the area of allopathic drugs, are acting on the life and creating a stronger dissimilar disease. Stronger dissimilar disease means the weaker disease, the weaker natural disease, is suspended. So you take a medicine and the pain maybe goes away for a bit, or the itch goes away for a bit, or the whatever problem it is, it goes away for a bit. And then it comes back and you say, ah, I didn't take enough medicine. I must take some more. See, so Hahnemann is really warning us to be very careful in terms of how we use the conventional medications. There's something I would just like to point out, detail. In this aphorism, there are references to an issue. And an issue is not what we might think it is. I'm reading now from Yaskur. An issue is a wick made from an absorbent material, horsehair, linen thread, silk, which, when placed in a wound or cut, allows that area to be drained of fluids. Seton and issue are actually one and the same and were used frequently by allopaths in the 18th and 19th centuries. They thought that the outlet created would allow the disease to come or drain out of the body. Okay?
Okay. This is strange you mentioned that. Yesterday I was surfing around on the internet and looking at the MRSA, the staph infections, and there was a person who was showing this horrendous bite from us. I think it must have been a black widow, and he had like 8 inches length of gauze that was filled into his body, and he was drawing it out with the discharges. I don't want to call the horrid stuff that was coming out. It really was totally horrendous. And then there was a great big gaping hole in his body. And I don't know, it seems like must have been what they did years ago. Something
the
like
thing
this.
Is, the thing is, it's possible. It. It's possible that in the case that you're describing, it's a case where there's venom that needs to be drawn mm-hmm. out of the body in some shape or form. But mm-hmm. here, the mm-hmm. issue, the something on the external, on the outer skin, was kept up in order to heal something internal.
But no, what
the
you
idea being,
up?
The idea being, you have a chronic problem, so let's
uh-huh.
make a problem on
oh,
the skin
I see. Mm-hmm.
where there was none
right.
before. In the example
uh-huh.
you're describing, it, feel free if anyone's listening knows more about this as usual. We welcome comments. But it sounds to me like the example where you're describing is where the venom needs to be removed from the body in some way or form, and that's a way of doing it. But here,
uh-huh.
it almost reminds me of the, was it a remedy for that if you hammer your nail, then you no longer feel a mosquito bite or something?
Yes, we talked about this previously when we had
yeah.
a headache, and I said, I'll give you a smash on your hand and your headache
yeah.
won't feel so bad. Yeah,
yeah,
so that
the so that's a bit like that.
Well, I think I really hate to post that video. It's so grotesque, but really, it was just a person in his own home who was trying to solve his own of the tremendous amount of disintegration, deterioration, and of his own skin from the venom and. I don't think it had anything to do with the venom. It was just the eating away of his body. So let's go ahead and
just the thing that is interesting.
Yeah.
The thing that's interesting with this aphorism. On the one hand, it's a very long aphorism,
mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, a lot of what it's saying is really Hahnemann repeating over and over again. This type of treatment can never heal. And
mm-hmm.
also, to some extent, there's an upset and a disillusion because he starts it by saying, everyone knows this doesn't work, so why do people keep pushing it? And that was going on in
yes.
his time, and it's going on in ours.
Mm-hmm. Right. So to me, I wanted to bring that precise part of this aphorism up, that this is an editorial piece, this is an opinion piece, and he's saying again that, look at the facts, look in front of you. He cannot believe that people are continuing the treatment method that actually doesn't work. And if you look at nature, it's showing you that it's not going to work. It reminds me of when I was younger, I had, I don't know, some kind of an infection, and it gave me penicillin, and the pet caused so much stomach pain, violent stomach pain, I ever after said, if they ever asked me when I went to the doctor, are you allergic to anything, I would always say that it was penicillin. And to them, it's a side effect that's supposed to be accepted, that, yeah, you're going to have an upset stomach, just going to continue to take it. And the other part of that is he says here that it's taken over a time span. Repeatedly, they keep giving this dissimilar drug that's not going to do any good, but it's going to put the person into a worse situation, like it could have done for me with deteriorating my guts or something, putting me out in pain. So he's got quite a few things besides the initial one that you say the main idea of that these treatments that are being used are not going to work and that you must look at the laws of nature, but also the fact of the time span and the fact that they keep hammering away with the wrong thing and why he can't understand how they can continue to do that. One other thing that I could mention is you're going to see in the news many legal cases, lawsuits, recalls, class action suits by lawyers because of the drugs that are being given today. And one of the ones he mentions here is something about acne or skin. So there's one for Accutane that says you may have been hurt or have Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis by taking Accutane. So there you've created a new disease after you've just had acne, a skin problem, and now you can't even digest your food or you're in the bathroom all the time. And these millions of dollar lawsuits, $25 million was awarded to a New Jersey man just because of this. So I wonder what he would say if he was here today.
Hanneman, I think he'd probably take a vow of silence and disgust.
You don't think he would be fighting with us? He would have a soapbox somewhere telling us, pay attention to this. Look what's going on with the drugs you're taking, the recalls and the side effects, the diseases, the stronger disease that's not helping your weaker disease. So we need to teach the general public what's going on and what they can do for themselves, or the fact that they need to see a professional homeopath. And there are plenty that they can find who are competent. So did you have more to say about this, or you just wanted to give the general
on this aphorism? Sure. On this aphorism, the main thing is to see, like Hanuman sets us a structure, and his structure is the first situation where the dissimilar disease, the older one is stronger. And the second situation, that's aphorism. And you'll see in the aphorisms themselves, aphorism 36 has a Roman numeral 1 at the beginning of the aphorism. So the older, dissimilar disease is stronger. Aphorism 38 has Roman numeral 2. The new dissimilar disease is the stronger. And this particular aphorism that we're dealing with is an example of the new dissimilar disease is stronger. Just the quirk on it is that the new dissimilar disease is caused by allopathic treatment. And then
It's also an artificial disease, and the homeopathy is considered also an artificial disease, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yeah, but now
it's different.
Now the issue is similar or dissimilar, stronger or weaker. That's the structure. That's what Hanuman is talking about in these aphorisms. And as long as you keep that in mind, you don't get lost with what he's telling us. We're talking about, is it stronger or weaker? Mm-hmm. Is it similar or dissimilar? And this is in yesterday's session, I asked that people should try and do some research for themselves and ask themselves when they've had sickness and one thing seemed to go away and the other stayed, was it stronger or weaker? Was it similar or dissimilar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So here, allopathic treatment, if it's violent, then it sets up a dissimilar, stronger disease. If it's not violent, it sets up a dissimilar, weaker disease. As a dissimilar, weaker disease, it won't really do anything for the old problem. As a dissimilar, stronger disease, it will knock the old problem out temporarily until the old problem gets up from the ring and starts the fight all over again. And you see in his example between the cowpox and the between the smallpox and measles, I think that was his example. Yep, measles and smallpox, you see this back and forth. It's like really two boxes in a ring where at any point one seems to be stronger, knocks out the other, then the other makes a comeback and knocks down the first. The big question that this raises is when we take a conventional medication and we seem to get better, is that a bad thing? from this aphorism, mm-hmm. it would seem that it is a bad thing.
Okay. Well, I take it a couple of ways. Did you want to answer the question yourself?
Actually, I'm just thinking there's another place in the Organon where Hanuman answers this question. So mm-hmm. just bring in what he says. He says, here we have one possible answer to the question, which is, yes, it's a bad thing, because it means it's a stronger dissimilar disease, which is just weakening you, ultimately, suspending the old disease, and then the old disease comes back. However, Hanuman also refers to times when the allopathic treatment is by chance homeopathic to the case. Mm-hmm. Homeopathic to the disease, in which case what will happen is the allopathic treatment by chance has set up a stronger similar disease. So if you mm-hmm. feel better after taking conventional medication, it could be one of these two scenarios. One is that by luck the conventional medication turned out to be homeopathic to your case, and therefore even though you may have a few side effects, if you're feeling better it could be a solid cure, but that doesn't mm-hmm. happen that often. And the other scenario is this one that we're being presented in Aphorism 39, that the old problem has just been suspended and it will be back.
Yes, they will be back.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I think about, which to me, I don't know how to put it into perspective. Sometimes when you are in the midst of a very violent or debilitating illness, and whether it is having insomnia or excruciating pain, don't have a homeopathic remedy that can remedy the situation, and therefore you take a allopathic painkiller just so that your body can rest from the horrible symptoms of the disease, just to kind of nourish your soul, your give some quiet and peace from the tremendous amount of pain, but it's only being given temporarily. In other words, the allopathic medicine, although it is not homeopathic, or perhaps it is in the case you've just illustrated there, how do you put that into perspective for someone who is truly suffering? Do you understand that question?
Yes, I understand your question, and I think that different people have different perspectives on this. Where I've been asked this question specifically relates to antidepressants. You know, if someone is going through a rough time and they need something just to help them over the hump, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not going into an addictive situation. Should they take antidepressants? Should they not? And it's divided, because if we're good enough homeopaths, we should be able to give that patient something that makes an antidepressant unnecessary. I believe that's true. The question is, are we good enough homeopaths to do it? If someone is not in treatment with a qualified homeopath and is self-medicating, then that always can be problematic, because you don't know what's going on. And there are too many people who think that just because they've read a book or so on homeopathy, they can self-medicate with gay abandon, and it's not quite so straightforward, which is why training to be a homeopath is long and arduous and almost never ending. Probably never ending.
So I think I would like to pick up on this question when we start again tomorrow. Our time is up for today. I think it's something that we all struggle with, and maybe just the general public and people suffering struggle with. So I will talk to you again tomorrow. Thank you. Thank everyone for listening.
Okay, bye everyone. Thanks, Debbie. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopaths Vera Resnick and Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it